Okay, this week's Parsha, Parsha Yishlach. I actually was going to give a different board today. I had everything planned. I got texts on the way to my yeshiva from a person who was in yeshiva about 10 years ago, named Donnie Resnick. He says to me, Shalom Rebbe, every year by Yishlach, I think about the board from Sikos Musar. Alama Zeti Shal Shmi. Shkar pouring it out. Hope all's well. So that's like 12 years ago, I gave a vort. I quoted a sefer, gave a vort over this week's Parsha. And I got the text this morning, thanks so much, I haven't forgotten since you said it over. It's not my own idea, but it's a presentation I give over. So I figured, how can I not give over that exact shot right now to my Talmidim when someone 12 years ago is still quoting me on it? It must be that I should say it over again. So I'm going to take a few small points that I was prepared earlier and tie it into this vort as well. I'm going to say three points. I'm going to point around three small points. One, I'm going to flesh out a little more, and then we'll hopefully have our lives changed, as we do every week with the show. The parsha, we have Yaakov reuniting with his brother Esav. Now, we know Yaakov and Esav, it's a tough clash. They're sworn enemies. At least Esav is our sworn enemy. And we know that's a din that Esav sold to Yaakov. That's how it goes. Yaakov's sending word now back to Esav, trying to find Esav. And it says, Vayitzav otam le'mor. He said, the messengers, tell Esav, Ko tomru le'li Esav. Tell Esav the following thing. Ko amar avdecha Yaakov. Thus says your servant Yaakov. Im lavan garti, va'echar ata. I was living with Lavan, and that's why I've been delayed up until now. Says over here, Rashi, Im lavan garti. Says, the word garti is like the word shamarti. Like the word shamarti. Garti, which means I lived with Lavan until now. It's the same word, letters, the word shamarti. As the word tayag, I'm sorry, tayag. Tayag mitzvahs. Says Rashi over here, Gardi b'gematria tayag, kilomar. Yaakov was saying to Esav, Im Lavan ha-Rasha garti, I dwelt with Lavan ha-Rasha. Tayag mitzvah shamarti, and I kept all 713 mitzvahs. Ulamati masarak, I read Nulaman from his bad behaviors. Fine. Now that's the way Rashi over here says it over. The introduction of our shmooze today, I'll point out it's a difficulty. What's difficult about it? It's difficult because it's not true. For two reasons. Number one, a lot of mitzvahs weren't even given yet. Right? Korbanos. We didn't have mitzvahs back then. There are no Kohan, Dubrachas. There are so many mitzvahs we don't have of the 613. You could argue, though, that we know, as Chazal tell us, that even nowadays there's no Korbanos, but if you read about learn about korbanos, you get credit for giving korbanos to some capacity, to some extent. But there was one mitzvah we know that Yaakov did not do. He was actually punished for it. Yehuda, you know what it is? Because it's based upon Gemara Megillah, you showed me where you showed me, but Gemara Megillah has a story, end of the first parak. Yaakov was punished for 22 years.
For learning, for leaving his father.
Excellent. Yaakov was gone for 36 years from his father. 14 he was learning Torah, he wasn't punished for those 14. 22 years he was with Lavan, getting married, having a family. And because he didn't return right away, he was punished for 22 years for lack of keeping avim. So how could Yaakov say to Esav, he's lying? I was shamarti, I kept all the mitzvahs? Question number one. Okay, that's our question number one. It's not true, he didn't keep avim. Question number two, or point number two, I'll say. We have a discussion that Yaakov, we know this is partial, also a fascinating story, so I'll flesh out a little more soon. But Yaakov is traveling, getting ready to go to meet Esav. He splits his camp into two, and all of a sudden, he goes backwards. It says in the Pasuk, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavei, it says that Yaakov crosses the Nachal with his family, that's Pasuk Chavdalid. But Yivatu Yaakov, Yaakov was left alone. And he struggled with a man until Osa Shachar. Yaakov was alone. What happened here? Why was Yaakov alone? He was busy strategizing with his family. Says Rashi, Shachach Pachin Kitanu. He forgot small little jugs, small little flasks. He went back to get them. The Chazal went back to get them. Yaakov at this point is very rich. He's super rich, right? He did the whole thing with Lavan, with all the animals. He's got flock. He's sending Esau tons of gifts. He's got to go back for a few little flasks. You know, it's worth it. Imagine Lahavdil. Imagine you're going to the airport. You go to the airport and you made a little candy bag for yourself for the flight. And you're about an hour from home, you're away from home on the way to the airport, about to check in. All of a sudden you're like, forgot the bags at home of our chocolate and candy that I want to give out on the plane to everyone. You're going to turn around and go backwards? No way. You just buy some in there. You have money. Buy some in the airport. You can find somewhere to get them. Why in the world would Yaakov, he's rich. You've got a few flasks? Let him sell a cow and get the flasks in return. Why is he going back for the flasks? Question number two. Question number three, this is what I'm going to flesh out more. I'll hopefully answer questions one and two afterwards. Question number three is this strange scene. He's stuck all by himself now. And he's confronted with a man. It says, a man struggled with him until the morning hours. I'm reading the pasuk so we can see how weird it is inside, how strange it is. The angel saw that he couldn't beat Yaakov. But he whacked him. He hurt him right in the upper thigh. But and Yaakov's thigh was injured from that wrestling match. But Yomer Shalcheni, this ish says, "Let me go." Because after all, it's dawn. But Yomer and says, "Yaakov, lo ashlechacha ki berachtani. I'll not let you go until you bless me." Okay. So this Ish says, Yaakov, Mashemech, what's your name? Yomer Yaakov. Name's Yaakov. Pasuk of Tesva, Yomer Loik Yaakov, Yeh Merish Od Shimcha, Kim Yisrael. No longer is your name Yaakov. Now your new name is Yisrael. Kisarisa im Elokim, Biman Shiva Tucha. You have struggled against Elokim, or Elohim, and with men, and you've been victorious. You've struggled with gods, with men, and you've been victorious. Okay. So let's pause for a second. We all know over here that this wasn't Stam and Ish. This was a unique being that Chazal tells was what?
Esav's angel.
Which we assume Esav represents Rishut, badness, spiritual version of badness. We call it the Yetzer Hara. And here is Yaakov right now, starting with Esav's spiritual counterpart, the Yetzer Hara. And he's doing battle. With the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara says to Yaakov, nope. I want to go. I'm a Yetzer Hara. I'm also an angel. I have a job. I have Shira to say to God. That goes, no way. I want a blessing first. Okay? So he says, your name is what? Your name is Yaakov. So now your name is Israel. And it fits because you struggled. You fought and you succeeded against men and gods, or angels. Very nice. But look at the last few. So that we have in this context. What are they doing here? Or last pasuk, I should say. Pasuk Lamed, Perek Lamed Beis. V'yishal Yaakov, v'yomer. So Yaakov now asks and says, Nu, v'yidin ha-shemecha, what's your name? V'yomer, the angel says back, Lamed v'yishal ha-shemi, why are you asking my name? V'yivarach v'yishal ha-shem, and he blessed him, and then that was their goodbye. Okay. There are probably a lot of conversations that happened in Torah time that aren't written in the Torah. Yaakov came one day, he says, hey, Rachel, what's for breakfast? It's not in the Torah. Probably happened. Hey, Leah, what are we cooking up for dinner tonight? Probably happened. It's not in the Torah. Because it's not really a relevant conversation to have and make it Torah worthy. People lived for decades. Not every conversation is written down. I understand the need to tell me the conversation written down by Yaakov and the angel. When the angel blessed Yaakov because he changed his name to Yisrael. And he gave him a shout out. His name is Yisrael right now. We want to know that Yaakov is Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov. We have to know that fact. But why does the Torah tell me the last pasuk? Yaakov is the angel. New? You got my name. What's your name? Why do I know my name? All right. Okay. Good point. See you later. Just erase that whole pasuk. It seems like a very bizarre ending to our bizarre encounter. So, once you know, and by the way, let's go back one point. At this point in time, the angel does not have the upper hand. Yaakov has the upper hand. Yaakov is wrestling him. The angel's got to leave. His clock is ticking. Dawn. He's got to do his brachos. He's got to say his thanks to God for creating him in the first place. Yaakov has the upper hand. When the angel says to Yaakov, why do I know my name? Yaakov should say back to the angel, that's not an issue for you. Who cares? This is my business. I got you where I want you. You want to get out of here. You say what I ask of you, or I'm not letting you go. He can do that. But instead, he lets him go. So why did Yaakov care what his name was? Just stomp pleasantries? We're having a conversation. You know my name, I should know what your name is. Why did he care? So there's a beautiful pshat brought down in the Sefer Sichos Musar by Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. And he says the following word. says that the name represents essence. When Adam Rishon, when he was first created, Hashem brought every animal to them, and he named every animal. He named every animal, it says. And the Sforno says that the name represents the essence. The essence. With me? Stay with me. Represents essence. And therefore, he figures right now, I have the chance of a lifetime. I'm doing battle with the Yetzer Hara. If I can figure out what the essence, what makes that thing tick, that is so Torah worthy to write down, I can share with my family in the future, we'll all be so much better off for it. If only we would know what makes the Yetzer Hara tick. So says Yaakov to the angel, what's your name? Not Stam pleasantries. It's what makes you tick. It's who you are. It's your essence. So what's your essence? So now it becomes even more bizarre. That means that Yaakov is right now holding on to potentially unlocking the secret of the Yetzer Hara. And he gives up. He lets him go. How do I know my name? Okay, you're right. Let him go. You should say to the angel, you know why I want to know your name? Because if I can pass this down to my people, to my children later on, this will change the whole game we play with you. We'll have such an... What's your kryptonite? What's your weakness? What's your essence? Who are you? So then why in the world did Yaakov stop and not get the name? Says Rav Chaim Shlomo, the most unbelievable point. He says Yaakov didn't stop. Yaakov actually got the name. The name of the Yetzer Hara is... It's a weird name. Is Lama Ze Tish'a L'Shmi. That's his name. That's Yetzer Hara's name. That's its essence. It means, why do you ask my name? That's its name. Why do you want to know? And he gives the following mashal of Chaim Shlevitz. He says, the Yetzer Hara works exactly like this. He works in a way when you have a desire and your animal part wants to do something very exciting for it. If you only take a second, you would say, why would I do that? Why would I want to do that? What's behind this? What do I get out of it? Then it's over. The mashal I heard one time, imagine movie theaters, the first time movie theater ever came out. And, it's packed, everyone wanted to see it. He heard about this big screen with these features on it. And there's a man who's very old, and he's about to leave the world, and he wants to see before he dies. What is this thing everyone talks about, his movies? Goes to the theater, and he buys a front row seat. He can't wait to, see what this whole thing is. He sits in the front row, and he's watching this huge screen in front of him. Whatever it is, it's a Western, there's a fight scene. He's, sitting there, whoa, this is unbelievable. So large. Larger than life, literally. And he goes, and he starts to stand closer to it, to look at it. And the closer he gets, the more awe-inspired he is. And he finally is like, oh my gosh, I gotta see more here. He takes his flashlight out and he shines it on the screen to see, it's so dark in there. Let me see a little more behind it. And then all of a sudden, it disappears. There's nothing on the screen. Because when it's light, all the projection, it goes away. You can't see it anymore. There was nothing there in the first place. It was just a projection. So Rav Chaim Shlevitz, the entire Yetzer Hara is just a projection of what you think you want. How often have we made a mistake and failed Yetzer Hara where afterwards we're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Have you ever in your life made a mistake Yetzer Hara and at the end be like, yes, after it's over, I'm so happy I just did that. Okay, it might last a little bit of time until you feel that way. But almost always, at some dates, you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? The muscle he brings down is, imagine the guy. The person has been called to measures. Yetzer Hara is like a crippled highway robber. A highway robber. He's by the highway, and you're walking by. He says, give me everything you got. And he's like, he's no arms, no legs. He's not holding a gun. I'll get you. You're like, okay, here, take my wallet. Don't hurt me. It's like, are you kidding me? You just can tip him over. And he falls right in his face. He can't stand. He's got no arms. He has no legs. Just look first. Just look at what you're talking about. This is what you're scared of? This is what you're intimidated by? Lama Zetosh means, before you do something, just ask. Understand. If you do that, you'll never sin. No matter what is in front of you, if you took a step back and said, why would I do that? What do I stand to gain? What are you really? What is your name? No, he says, don't ask my name. That's my essence. Just don't bother thinking, just do. Do because you want to. Do because it feels good to you. That's the essence of the Yetzer Hara. That's how you beat it, is you say, no, I'm not going to just do because I feel like it. What does this give me in the end? With that in mind, I'll tell you my last 2 points I start with very quickly and I'll end. The word shamarti doesn't mean that he kept all the mitzvahs. What it means, and this is how you combat the Yetzer Hara also, what it means is next week's parsha, we're going to quote a line, parsha of Yeshiv. Quote a line. And when Yosef has all these dreams, when he tells the last dreams to the brother, it says, Vayikanu bo echav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Lamed Zayin, his brother very jealous of him. V'aviv, but his father, Shamar es hadavar. Shamar. What does Shamar mean? Talking about the Shamarti. He kept the matter, says Rashi. And I heard this idea, this word over from Nusbacher, who was a teacher of Yeshiva Shalavim, Yosef Nusbacher. Shamarti, in his name I heard it, not from him. Mamtinu mitzapeh matayavo. He was waiting and anticipating when the day would come when I could actually do mitzvahs again. Yaakov knew he didn't do mitzvahs. He knew he wasn't doing mitzvahs. He knew he wasn't. He was stuck in with Russia his whole life. The last 22 years of his life, he was with Russia. He was limited. But he said to Esau, I never stopped wishing for the day when I could get out of this mess and be back again doing mitzvahs. He was, type of shamarti, I was anticipating the day that could come again. If you have that attitude in life of, I wish I could do better, I want to do better, and I also know that the Yetzer Hara anyways, it's just a fraud. It's a paralyzed, crippled highway robber. Just pause and ask him, what are you asking for me? Why would I do that? He says, no, don't ask. Lamed Chalosh, why are you bother asking? That's how his essence works. No, but if you ask the question, there is no good answer at the end. If you have the shamarti, the anticipation and the hope, and then the last thing is the pachim ketanim. Why did Yaakov go back to these little vessels? Because Yaakov understood a very important thing. He said, there's nothing in life that you have that you can't use for good. Nothing. If you would trade your cow for more pachim, that means you lost your cow. Yaakov realized that whatever God gives me, that's what I'm supposed to have for the best version of myself possible. If I really want that to happen, I'll never leave behind anything. Not because I'm cheap. It's not about being cheap. Because that God planted inside of me everything I need, the best version of myself. So I can't ignore pachim ketanim. I can't stop, chuck a cow and buy something else. It means I lost the cow. Or I lost my small vessels. I gotta make sure everything that I have, I use for what it's meant to be. Hashem created me a way when everything I have was to be channeled in a certain area. And if therefore, if we take that approach about everything about ourselves, our time, our possessions, our talents, it's all useful when channeled the right way. And I want to be anticipating and hoping for a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the mitzvahs. I'm shomer the mitzvahs. I anticipate, I wait for the chance to do them. And I realize that the thing taking me back from that, which is the Yetzer Hara, is this fraud, this phony, who only gets me by making sure I don't ask too many questions. If I have all those things in mind, it should be such an easier road to do become the person I'm supposed to become in the end of the day. I give you all a bracha. That Yetzer Hara, his job is to entice you. So I can't tell you that you shouldn't entice you. That's his job. But you should have the chachma and the ability, the strength of character to pause and say, who are you? What do I get in the long run from this decision? What do I really want for myself in the long run anyways? Does that match up? If the answer is no, then you can be certain this is not coming from a good place. And you push the Yetzer Hara aside and say, it's not for me. And then Yaakov has given his children, us, the greatest gift in the world. The gift of understanding and knowing what the Yetzer Hara is all about, which we zocher to pass our tests. Have a beautiful Shabbos.